Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he is our living bread of life. We receive him into our hearts, that you will speak to us through your message. And we hold on to your promise that your holy word will never return to us void. Help us not to be just hearers of your words, but to be doers of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and savior. Amen. Please be seated. It is my privilege to share God's word with you this morning. It's good to be back. 11:15 a.m. service is where I met God and I gave my life to God at this very service about when I was in 1996. So today we are continuing with our sermon series from the book of Acts, and the title for today's sharing is A Serving Community. Please turn with me to page 216 of the Old Testament portion of the Bible in the pew. I'll be referring to that passage from Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. About 2 weeks ago, we had Alpha Intro Dinner, and I want to thank you for bringing your friends to come for this intro dinner. We had about 160 guests who came, and half of them registered for the Alpha, and half of that indicated that they are non-Christians, and so it's wonderful that they chose to sign up for Alpha, and I pray that many will experience God's love and also experience the hospitality of the cathedral community. Just want to show you a few pictures. Can we show the picture? This is what happened. By the way, just a show of hands. Anyone went for the Alpha intro dinner 2 weeks ago on the 25th of August? I see a few familiar faces. Praise the Lord. Well, the next one will be on the 15th of August, which is in 2 weeks' time. So yes, Alpha is still open for registration, so I hope you will still pray and invite your friends to come for Alpha. So I want to talk about the Alpha intro dinner because it really is an example of a serving community. And there are members from this congregation, the 1115 congregation, that came to help out. If you see on the stage, that's a very familiar face. It's Sean. He's on our Alpha Task Force. He's the host for that evening. He's from your service as well. And there were people of preparing, like for this other picture here, people welcoming the guests. They help out the registration, and they were doing the decoration as well. And we thank you for Linda, who is your lay reader at 11:15. She is in charge of the hospitality. The hospitality team cooked 400 pieces of chicken. Amazing number of chicken. Not all for me, but for the guests, of course. And of course, they did pineapples and they decorated just to give that sense of welcome and hospitality. And of course, we have Valerie, your very own 1115 member, who also blew up balloons just to make the place feel very fun and exciting. And of course, they prepared, I think that's Matilda over there, from your 1115 congregation, helping to prepare the food for the guests. And they were hosts to just make the guests feel welcome and just experience God's love. In a way, this is a glimpse of the early church recorded for us in the book of Acts. There's a sense of unity, love, and generosity. I can imagine that what was happening 2,000 years ago in the early church. The early church was growing and thriving and very attractive. Thousands were added to the number of early Christians. There were signs and wonders and many wonderful, wonderful things. However, things were not as rosy or smooth sailing as we expected. Last Sunday, Reverend James Harding preached that the church faced persecution when the apostles were arrested by the Jewish leaders. In spite of fierce opposition, the apostles and the early believers remained faithful and obedient and did not cease preaching Jesus as the Christ. However, as the early church grew, it also faced an eternal problem, as recorded for us in Acts chapter 6. What problem was this? There was jealousy, division among the distribution of goods, especially in distribution to the widows, to the needy among the church members. Let me read for you. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The Hebrews were those Jews that were more inclined to embrace the Jewish culture, and probably from Judea. The Hellenists were Jews that embraced the Greek culture, and probably from different parts of the Roman Empire who gathered to Jerusalem. So there were some divisions, sort of a culture gap. The Hebrews probably considered the Hellenists as unspiritual because they embraced the Greek culture, while the Hellenists regarded the Hebrews as perhaps very self-righteous, very traditional, very holier than thou, because they are more conservative. So there was some suspicion and division between the two groups. And Satan tried to take advantage of this division, this problem, to divide the early church. But thankfully, the apostles were wise, and they turned this problem into an opportunity for ministry and service to God. And as a result, the early church became an attractive serving community. So I'd like to highlight 5 lessons. I will take about 15 minutes for each point, or just joking. I will promise you will have lunch by 1 p.m. 5 points. The first one is the serving communities respond to the needs of the people. Second, it recognizes that all can contribute. Third, it respects diversity. Fourth, it releases blessings. And lastly, it rejuvenates kingdom growth. My first point is that the early church, as a serving community, responded to the needs of the people. In verse 2, it says, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples." They responded very quickly to this problem. And they assembled the whole church, like an AGM perhaps, and addressed this issue. The apostles did not choose to ignore or avoid this problem. They did not divide the church or throw out the complainers. They respond to the issue honestly and honorably. They gathered the whole church and called for a solution. For this, our cathedral community, what are the issues or the problems that we face? We are in a very strategic place. It's open to the public, and we have many, many visitors that come on Sunday. And on Sunday, we have people from different countries that come, especially from Myanmar, and they will spend time together, they will chit-chat and so on. Our response could be positive or negative. We could quickly ask them to leave because they're making too much noise and so on. Or we can be like the early church who responded to the needs of the people. I'm thankful for a new ministry that was started last month. It's called BMW. I understand the vicar has shared a bit about this ministry, BMW. It's nothing to do with the automobile, but it stands for Befriending Migrant Workers. And they meet in the afternoon. It's manned by cathedral members. And they come and befriend the people, the visitors that come to visit the cathedral. And they befriend them and invite them to come for the Myanmar service or invite them for the English classes and so on. And I'm happy to report that the English classes for the Myanmar people are growing. And even the Myanmar service, people are attending this service, which is held at the Cathedral New Sanctuary in the afternoon. So we are thankful that the cathedral leaders responded to the needs of the people. and they responded positively. An attractive serving community is quick to respond to the needs of the people. Second point is that a serving community recognizes that all can contribute. When the apostle said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables because of growing needs of taking care of the widows," the apostles were not being arrogant or proud that the task of serving tables is beneath them. Rather, they were saying that every member of the church can serve and contribute. The apostles were actually humble and honest to say that they needed help from other members of the church with regard to this issue. The apostles decided that the work of building the church can be shared with the whole community of believers. As I mentioned earlier about the Alpha dinner, every member came, contributed. Those who can cook, those who can decorate, those who can host, befriend, and start a conversation, all coming together. If you ask me to cook for Alpha, I doubt anyone will turn up again next, the following week. I can only eat. So all of us have different roles, gifts, and talents. Not all can teach, preach, or lead. We need members who have the gifts of hospitality, administration, and much more. An attractive serving community recognizes that all of us can contribute to God's kingdom. In your bulletin, there's a blue insert, and there is a call for volunteers, for ministry involvement. And there are several areas which I want to commit to you for prayer, for you to be able to serve the 1115 congregation in the area of Sunday school, Alpha hospitality, servers, the choir, ushers, and the audiovisual ministry. So I hope you will seriously pray and think about it, because there are many opportunities for us to contribute to the body of Christ. My third point is, a serving community respects diversity. Let me read to you. So what is the solution to this problem? This is what happened in verse 3. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, the whole church, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Friends, even though the early church was mostly Hebrew, they did not show prejudice by siding with the Hebrew widows or dismissing the complaints of the Hellenistic Jews. They addressed the issue openly and respectfully and decided to choose 7 men. And you know, as I mentioned, the early church were mostly Hebrew, and they did not show prejudice in choosing the 7 men. As I mentioned, the names, all of them have something in common. They were not Hebrew names. They were actually Greek names. They're all Hellenistic names. And even one, Nicholas, is a Greek from Antioch. It was admirable that the early church selected Greek-speaking leaders to serve the community, in particular the Hellenistic widows. Friends, an attractive serving community rejects prejudices and respects and embraces diversity. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we must serve people regardless of their ethnicity, social, and economic status. I am grateful for the early British missionaries who came to Singapore in the 18th century. They came thousands of miles to come to this little fishing village. And they started churches, hospitals, and schools. They not only served their fellow countrymen, but also the locals in Singapore. in 1858, in this very church, St. Andrew's Church, back then it wasn't a cathedral yet, Reverend William Humphrey, then the resident chaplain, encouraged the congregation to support local catechists or evangelists to reach out to the Asians living in Singapore. Today, I'm standing at the pulpit and I see a very diverse group of church members and parishioners from different nationalities and ethnic groups. Today, we are enjoying the fruit of their unprejudiced service of love to our forefathers. And an attractive serving community rejects prejudices and embraces and respects diversity. My fourth lesson is a serving community releases blessings to serve. In Acts chapter 6, verse 6, we read that the apostles prayed and laid their hands on these seven men. They were commissioned by the church with the authority and responsibility to serve the community and take care of the widows. The apostle blessed this man with God's guidance and anointing to serve the church effectively and powerfully. And in turn, these seven men blessed the community and, of course, the group of widows. An attractive serving community releases blessings for you and me to serve God. A serving community supports and prays for its members to serve and bless others. It has a ripple effect of blessing one another and to the world. Today, as I stand here again, I am a product of you blessing me. I'm thankful for the cathedral community, especially at the 11 a.m. congregation where I grew up. I remember I was seated there. My father brought me to the 11 a.m. service. Back then it was called 11 a.m. We didn't move the time yet. And he brought me there, and that's where I met God, and I gave my life to Jesus. And a few months later, I attended a Lenten devotion, and at that time, it was Dr. Joe Ozawa who had a call, who made a challenge to all of us, those who have a full-time calling. And God spoke to me again, and I responded to that call, and I gave my life to full-time ministry. And because of that, you bless me. You play a part in who I am now. Years ago, you released blessing upon my life. I joined the cathedral as a children worker. You blessed my life so that I can bless the children. You also blessed my life, and later on, you blessed my life so that I can bless the youth as I became a youth worker and youth pastor. And now, recently I was ordained as a deacon. You also blessed me. You are a part of my growth, of my office, and of my ministry because of what you have done for your prayers and your blessing upon my life. Your blessings, friends, have enabled me to bless God and His people. I pray that we continue to release blessings so that many more cathedral members, and some are seated here this morning, can be a blessing to God and His people. I'm not saying that all of us will be called to full-time ministry, but perhaps some of you want to avail yourself to serve God in the many areas in the cathedral and even beyond the walls of the cathedral. An attractive serving community releases blessings to serve. And my last point, an attractive serving community rejuvenates kingdom's growth. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says here, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests, even the priests who served in the temple, became obedient to the faith. Wow, amazing, isn't it? And it all started with a complaint. So it's good to complain, isn't it? Singaporeans tend to complain. Because of a complaint about the distribution of goods, But because of the wisdom of the apostles, they choose to respond to this complaint positively. And because of that, it enabled them to commission seven deacons, seven men who did wonderful things for the church. And we know about Stephen. In the later chapter, we know that Stephen became a martyr. He died for his faith. So my prayer for this church, for the cathedral, is that through our service to God and to one another, we bring about kingdom growth. You know, friends, something is happening in this season. There's something different about the spiritual atmosphere, especially we are in the midst of this 40-day prayer. And tonight we'll be starting a solemn assembly at the Cathedral New Sanctuary where we will be praying for this nation. I want to encourage all of us to come and pray for this nation, that this nation, especially for Singapore, there'll be a spiritual awakening, a kingdom growth. I hope you will be excited. You will pray together with us. The role of the church leaders here, especially for the clergy, as I am reminded, is that we are preparing the people of God for Jesus coming. When will he come? We do not know. But as we wait for his coming, we need to prepare all of us to serve one another and serve the world so that the world may know that Jesus is the true and living God. Would you serve one another and serve the world so that we will rejuvenate kingdom growth? Friends, would you respond to God's invitation to serve and contribute to the body of Christ, and especially to this broken, fallen world? Will you be that agent of peace, that agent of revitalization, that agent of reconciliation and forgiveness to a restless world? Would you allow yourself to be used by God to grow his kingdom on earth in anticipation of Jesus coming, so that when he comes again, he will personally say this to you, good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. He is an example of what it means to be a servant king. He is our servant Lord. He is our servant King. Teach us, Lord, to serve one another out of love, out of compassion, out of generosity that flows from you. Father, I want to pray for the 11:15 a.m. congregation, that you fill each one of us with your Spirit. Help us to serve and love one another, not within the walls of the cathedral, but even beyond the walls of the cathedral. Inspire us. Help us to respond quickly and honorably and effectively to the needs of a broken world. Help us that we can contribute regardless of our limitations and our gifts. Help us to release blessings, blessings after blessings to the people around us. And most importantly, help us, Lord, to rejuvenate kingdom growth. Use us, Lord, to be that agent of blessing to the nations. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.